morning. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today from Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And dear friends of Christ, it was just another day in the Judean hill country of Bethlehem. David woke up as he did every morning and he saw the Judean hills in the distance. And as he did every morning, David began to count. He was counting his sheep. Sometimes in the night, the sheep in the darkness would wander away from the flock, or a predator would come and snatch one of the sheep and it would disappear. And so every morning, the shepherd had a job: count the sheep. You see, sheep have that tendency to wander, and the shepherd's job is to keep them safe. They can't protect themselves, you see. Sheep, they don't have any defenses. They don't have fangs to bite. They don't have claws to scratch. They don't have agility to try to avoid anything. They're sitting ducks. And so anything is dangerous to a sheep. And the enemy's pretty pleased about that, because the enemy sees a bunch of lambs and thinks, I got this. And that's how the devil looks at you. I got this. I can make this one wander. I can feed on this one. This is a meal for me. And then we, as sheep, don't listen to God's word, and we stray. It happened to David. He counted. One was missing. He went looking immediately. Where did he find the sheep? In the mouth of a lion. In the mouth of a lion. And he immediately didn't hesitate. That lamb was about to become a meal. He gets his staff and he runs toward the danger. He runs toward the lion and bonks it as hard as he can. The lion immediately drops his prey and turns on the shepherd. And then David doesn't hesitate. He doesn't run away. Instead, as the lion is lunging at him, he grabs the lion by the mane and bonks it on the head with a fatal blow. That's an image of what a shepherd is. And we need to understand that image this morning, because the Bible says that we need to understand the mind of a shepherd in order to understand the mind of Jesus. You know, what's he willing to do for us, this shepherd who came, this good shepherd? Now, David was a good shepherd, but he wasn't the good shepherd. David needed the good shepherd. What gave David the ability to be the shepherd he was, to defeat bears and lions and giants? David killed lions and bears and giants because the Lord was his shepherd. Well, we have a shepherd too, and that's why David was able to write, "The Lord is my shepherd. I'm never in need." And so our theme, "My Shepherd and I." King David wrote Psalm 23, and it begins this way: "The Lord is my shepherd." It's no coincidence that he uses those first two words, "the Lord," Adonai. The Lord, it's God's special name. And that special name talks about a relationship that the sheep have with the shepherd. Moses wrote, "The Lord." The Lord, a compassionate and merciful God, patient, always faithful, always ready to forgive. He continues to show his love to thousands of generations. He forgives wrongdoing, he forgives disobedience, and he forgives sin. But he also punishes the wicked who do not repent, who do not turn to him. Because the Lord is faithful. He keeps his promises. The Lord, the word itself actually means faithful, faithful master. The Lord, Adonai. The faithful one. That's comforting to know that we have a shepherd who's faithful. He protects us, kind of like King David. sees the devil as a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And Christ comes and he grabs him by the mane and he bumps him on the head, and it's a fatal blow. The devil has no power over you. He sets you free from your enemies, free from sin, free from suffering, free from death. Grave has no power over you. Why? Because you have a Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, a faithful God who keeps you always. And so King David began his psalm wisely with the words, "The Lord is my shepherd. I'm never in need." You've also heard it translated, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And it makes it sound like you don't want him. But the meaning is the same. I have everything I need. And again, we, as God's sheep, we lack nothing. We are in Christ. We are the sheep of his flock. And what an amazing thing to know, that the God of the universe who created all things is not so distant that he doesn't know the name of his sheep. He's not too busy to care for each of us individually, to call us back again time and time again when we wander. The Lord is your shepherd. The Lord, the faithful one, is your shepherd. As a song confesses, "I am Jesus' little lamb. He loves me every day the same, even calls me by my name. I am his and he is mine. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing." Now, there are things in life that you want. Your sinful nature wants stuff. And there are things that, boy, I sure would like to have this. But all those things that we would like to have, and even those things that are good to have, good health, family, clothing, shelter, even those things that we need, God provides. But when I leave this world, none of those things are going to matter. When Jesus comes again, none of those things are going to matter. I'm going to leave them all behind, and there's only going to be one thing that matters. The Lord, the faithful one, the good shepherd. Is he my shepherd? Will he guide me from this life to the next? And Psalm 23 talks about that. As I told the kids, the Lord, the good shepherd, lays down his life for the sheep. What a faithful protector. I lack nothing, and you don't lack anything either, even though you may think you do. David writes, "This good shepherd makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his namesake." Now, did you pay attention to all that? Did you pay attention to what the shepherd does? How does God care for his sheep? He feeds them. He leads them. He restores them. And he guides them. How does God do all that? His word. But God can't guide sheep who don't listen. His word leads us, guides us, feeds us, restores us. And it would behoove us to realize the importance of God's word. God gives advice for his sheep. Listen. Listen carefully to me. Eat what is good and enjoy the best foods. Open your ears and come to me. Listen so that you may live. Are the sheep listening? Or are the sheep wandering? What do you think? I say souls are starving for to be fed. They're starving for the food of God's word, but they're not going where food is given. They eat everything else in the world, but it's not nourishing them. Listen, we carefully and we learn that when we feed on God's word, he restores my soul. He restores us. When we eat and drink Christ's body and blood, he restores us. When we listen to God's word and obey it, he restores us. Listen, our sin has destroyed our relationship with God. We know that. However, our good shepherd has restored our relationship with our heavenly Father, because the good shepherd has become a lamb who laid down his life, and he leads us beside quiet waters. He guides us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And what does this mean? It means we're protected, that our shepherd leads us from this life into the next. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I'm dying, I don't fear evil, for you are with me. Lord, the faithful one, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Do you fear death? You know, a lot of people do. Most of the world fears death. People don't even want to come to funerals anymore, so they come to celebrations of life, because if we talk about a funeral, that meant somebody died. And I'm not going to think about the death part, because I don't know how to handle that. And people are terrified of death. Christians aren't. Now, I'm not saying that Christians run toward death by committing suicide. Well, that's just foolish. And certainly none of us are looking forward to how we're going to die. But dying? We're not scared of death. We're scared of the process. But we're not scared of the enemy. We have a shepherd. And the death cannot hurt us. And you need to know that. Death cannot hurt you. You are God's little lamb. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. I love that, those five words. You are with me. Five words couched directly in the middle of Psalm 23. 26 words before that, 26 words after that, and in the middle, you are with me. Now listen, why is this significant? In Hebrew, the letters have numbers. You count the numerical value for the word Adonai, Lord. When you take the numerical Hebrew value for the Lord, it's 26. 26 before, 26 after, the faithful master, and in the middle, the Lord is with me. Now, that preaches all by itself. The Lord is with you. He's in the middle. The Lord is central. He's in the middle of everything you are, everything that you have, everything that you do. He's always with you. When you're hungry, God is in the middle of your hunger. When you're lonely, God is in the middle of your loneliness. When you're troubled, God is in the middle of your troubles. Don't you see, you have a good shepherd, the Lord, who is always with you. And to drive this point home, David closes his psalm this way: You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercy get me to the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercy are the center of your life. The Lord is always with you with goodness and mercy. I like to call them the heavenly hounds. Hound number one, goodness. Hound number two, mercy. And as we go through life, they follow you all the days of your life. Are you grieving? Well, look beside you. What's there? Goodness and mercy. Are you lonely? What's beside you all the time? Goodness and mercy. They follow you no matter where you go. Do you feel like you're stuck in sin? Do you feel the heavy hand of God laying upon you, that you feel God's judgment? And maybe you should, because you're a sheep that's wandering. But look beside you. Who's there? The heavenly hounds. Goodness and mercy following you all the days of your life, that you may walk in the house of the Lord forever. Now, Jesus is the Lord. He's your good shepherd. He's a faithful master. He's also, however, the Lamb of God, the innocent Lamb. He had to become like us, a sheep, in order to die. And he willingly became that sacrificial lamb that laid down his life for the sheep to put himself under God's wrath for us so he could be punished on our behalf for our offenses. Isaiah wrote, "He was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we're healed." We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. Yes, the shepherd, the Lord, the faithful one, became a sheep. He paid the price. He died for his flock, for sheep who love to wander. He died for you. But a dead shepherd doesn't do the sheep any good. A dead shepherd is worthless to wandering sheep. And that's why the empty tomb is so very important. We don't have a dead shepherd. Christ is risen. And because he is risen, he lives in the very center of your existence. He lives to be your shepherd. He lives to feed you. He lives to guide you with his promises. He lives to save you from the enemy. And he lives to deliver you from death. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.